Never underestimate a badass basic bitch. I'm Courtney.
I'm done fitting into what everybody else needs me to fit into.
And I'm Brianna.
You are the only one that can make this change.
We're here to bring you the Badass Basic Bitch Podcast.
We're going to share the untold stories and dive deep into the shit nobody talks about.
Buckle up, we're totally unfiltered, about to get very sassy and inviting you into some of our most intimate conversations.
Welcome to the Baddie B Club.
I've also seen people who, not me personally, obviously, but I have, you know, been close with people who have terrible relationships with their parents and moms specifically. And it's interesting because they can do the most unthinkable and imaginable things. And at the end of the day, the child is still always like, well, it's my parent. It's hard, you know, but it's just really interesting. It's fascinating.
Welcome back to another episode of Badass Basic Bitch. Today, we are talking about all of the things your mom never told you. So we're going to cover a couple of things, Courtney. We're going to cover what are things that your mom would never tell you because they're just like the vows of a mother. And then what are some advice that your mom would never tell you, but you wish she did?
So, Okay, let's get into it. I also want to put a disclaimer. Liz might have actually told me many of these things because Liz is the goat, but.
Yeah, your mom definitely is the goat. So
it's a Mean Girls quote. I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
Oh my God. That whenever I think of that character, I just think of her hard nipples poking out. And
that
like,
was a bad comparison. You're like, Liz, you're not like that woman. She was very scary.
Your mom is like the opposite of that woman.
She's an angel human. She's really the best. Okay, let's dive into it. All the things that your mom never told you.
Well, and as a mom, I resonate with some of these things where I'm like, okay, these are things that moms never share. And I, coming from an upbringing where my mom did not share these things, we did not have open dialogue, we did not have those like vulnerable conversations moments that I am now, I don't want to be like overly vulnerable with my kids. I have to find that balance, but that's something that I want to do as a mom to like have that relationship with my kids.
Yeah. And I think also it's interesting because it is a balance for sure. My mom was really good about letting me, like allowing me to be vulnerable with her. But I think we talked about this in our last episode, or maybe it was just a sidebar conversation that we had. So much of our lives, our children come and they say like, you know, I'm crying about this. And the parent's like, you know, you're dramatic, like get over it, move on. Can we not throw a tantrum? Why are you crying? This is, don't cry right now. And you teach kids to like stuff it down. And then come like 13, 14, 15, they're like, why aren't they opening up to me? Why aren't they telling me what's going on in our lives? Crying and tantrums is just like a way for a child to try to express themselves and they don't have like the tools to express themselves.
Yeah.
You know? And so I found that so interesting the other day because it's like, then they get to be 15 and parents are like, why aren't they talking to me? It's like, cause you just told them not to talk to you.
For their whole entire life, you told them not to talk to you, right? Or not to express themselves. Also the whole, and I guess we could start, cause that's like things that you wish your mom would have said to you. I would like to start maybe a little bit more sentimental. What are the things your mom would never tell you? Because as a mom, you feel like this is your job and you hold that back. And I think the number one thing that could resonate with is that you made her cry a lot.
Yeah. I know that I was guilty of that a couple times in my teenage years, like if I was being a brat even or something, it's like, I don't care what you think. Like, and it, as an adult, you realize obviously like how hurtful that would be. But as when you're like 13, you're just like, you have too many hormones and you're being a brat. But you know, when you're a kid or like you're so stressed out and you're just trying to do your best, like it is hard to be a mom.
It's hard. And also there's think about all of the moments that she could have cried. I'm sure she cried out when she found out she was pregnant. Whether she was happy or sad that she was pregnant, she probably shed some tears giving birth that first time that you hold a baby. But yeah, like you said, of like crying because they say, I don't love you or I hate you, or the time and the moment where you do things with each other and then that stops because they've outgrown you.
Yeah, matching or like just like little things like that along the way.
Yeah. So there's probably a lot of those hidden moments as mothers. I've definitely experienced hitting shower crying over my children for sure. And I think that's probably something that's really common.
You know, I feel like it's interesting because the expression, if you love someone, you have to let them go. I feel like it's like less relevant in relationships and almost more relevant in these type of relationships, or romantic and more relevant in these type of relationships. Because, for example, the little things like the match, like Liz, I will still match you any day. But in general, it's like the things like that, that, you know, we would love and want to do as parents, and the kids are just like over it. It's almost like this form of like letting them go and like sort of growing into who they're going to be at some point, which I think is super like cool and beautiful to see, but absolutely those crying moments or just where you're, I mean, I'm sure you felt this with the divorce, but for me, it was like when you're going through something as a mom, you are always a mom, but you're a person. And so you're going through the situation, whether it be a divorce or a hard situation with work or friends or a relationship, like whatever it is, but you are going through a hard time, but you always have to show up as a mom, because that's like your number one job and priority. And so there was times like after my dad passed, when I would be sitting and I would have completely like wanted to break down and just lose it. But I, like, Kinsley's with me and I'm like, I got to keep it together. Like, I got to pull it together. Like, you are a daughter that just lost your dad, but you're a mom that's playing with your kid. Now pull it together. And so it's like, there's all those little intricacies and moments. It took me a long time to realize, as silly as it sounds, that like, my parents, because they were such great parents, like, are human beings.
Yeah.
And they're not perfect. And they mess up too. And they get scared and they get sad and they get all these emotions that we now feel as the parents.
Yeah.
But it's this really weird realization, I think, especially when you grow up with a family where you feel like the family unit is really strong and your parents are great. It's like they're almost like these superheroes. And then one day you realize, like, because you're the person behind, now you're the superhero, you realize like, oh, wow. They were feeling all these things and like going through all these emotions.
Yeah. I think that happens as you build your family and you're put in those situations and then you look back and reflect. The next one that I think your mom would never tell you is, and this is really true, and I think about a lot in my childhood, of that she did want that last piece of pie, or she did want that ice cream scoop or that candy. And it's funny because when I was growing up, I remember I always loved sharing, especially when it came to like enjoyment things like food. And so I'd be like, which Starburst do you want? And she'd be like, which one don't you want? And I'm like, no, which one do you want? And then she would pick the yellow because she knew I did not like the yellow.
But it's also her least favorite.
It's also her least favorite. And it's like, I've fully come full circle because my kids do that. And I'm like, well, I just want the ones that I know you don't want.
Yeah, because it's so sweet that they're sharing. And they're, I feel like too, if you don't give your kids candy like all the time, it's like this really special thing. I know you don't. It's like this really special thing for them. And so for them to even give you one of their 4-star bursts is like this huge deal. It's like really sweet. So you're like, I don't want to take your favorite. But that's so true.
Yeah.
The last piece of.
And moms never share that. I mean, they're never like, actually, I really did want that last bite. You know, save that for myself. Rarely.
It's interesting because I think a lot of being a mom is like putting other people first and sacrificing and kind of like taking it on the chin, for lack of a better way to say that. And so this like mom code that I feel like we all sort of like have, it's so interesting because that is like the crux of all this. Like, that's why we don't share these things, because you don't want to blame or complain or be like, oh, I cried this one time and you did this to me, or like, I really wanted that last piece of cake. Like, it's part of your motherly duties to do that. Like, you kind of sign up for it. So you don't, you know, it's super interesting though.
I agree. Okay. The other thing is she was always afraid. Like, I definitely have felt this, like, I'm afraid that first drop off of preschool. I'm afraid of starting kindergarten and being around kids of like, are they going to fit in? Are people going
to
like them?
You always have to hold it together for them. Like, so the mom face goes on, you're like, you're going to love it. It's going to be the best time. Everyone's going to love you. You're going to get along with everyone. Like, be kind, like, have fun, make friends. And inside you're like, oh my gosh, I hope they're going to like you. Like, what about this? Like, you're also thinking through it, but you have to present something so different.
Right. It's interesting because my kids are in play therapy, and during the divorce and then after the divorce, we just continued with it. And as children, I learned that they bear this weight on them because they're looking at the view of the world extremely innocently, and they love you. And so they want you to be happy because you care so much about them. You want them to be happy. And so they bear this weight subconsciously to make sure you're okay. And there was a lot that we worked with of like, mommy, daddy, we're adults. You are not responsible for our happiness. Like, we make ourselves happy. And so
I love that.
One time Emma came home and it was after a play date and she was talking about something, like an adult who is sad about something. And I was like, well, tell me about that. She was like, oh, it's just sad so-and-so problems. Like, she recognized that it was this person's sad problems because they were an adult and it's their problems that they have to fix
and not that she had to fix. Yes, that's great.
Or her friend had to fix. And I was like, that's interesting because I do think that there's so many times as parents, we're afraid for our child. We're afraid for, are we going to make the bills? Are we going to be safe? Like, natural disasters, hurricanes. But you have to show the child, like, I'm the adult. I'm the caretaker.
I have it handled, yeah.
Yeah, and I can't express how scared I am.
Yes, have the proper roles. But then you walk this fine line, right? Because we also don't want to sort of partake in what I think the generation above us did, which is a little bit more like brushing everything under the rug. Yes. Like, you're sad. I feel like there's so many country songs that are like, mama's like, just tells you, like, wipe your tears away, like, get out there. Like, and you're like, but this just happened 5 minutes ago. Like, can I have a minute? But that's very much like how we, you know, that generation was like, put your face on, put your lipstick on, get over it and keep going.
Yeah. And I think as parents, my advice would be like, don't be scared to share your vulnerability and share your feelings, but don't make it their burden to carry.
Yes. Yes.
And I think it's okay to say.
How do you think you do that without making it their burden?
Yeah. You express your feelings. Like, I am sad. I am scared. Like, I do worry, but I am in control of my feelings. I'm in control of my emotions. And I have options where I could talk to my friends about them, talk to my therapist, talk to Hunter, you know, thank you for listening. But when you bear the burden of like,
they have to fix it.
I'm so scared. Can you give me a hug?
I'm
so scared. Yeah. Don't leave me. I'm so worried. Like, just stay close to me. You're having this weird codependency.
Ooh, yeah.
Versus like, I'm scared. It's okay to be scared. And I can do all of these other things to help myself. Are you scared? Do you want to talk about your feelings? So it's like, just don't put that burden on them.
Yeah. So basically share your feelings, but then you have to sort of like caveat it with saying like, but I am in control of my feelings and like, I will deal with it basically, but like, I wanted to share with you, like, I wanted to be open with you, like, how are you feeling? And then kind of flip it on.
Right. It's like, it's not, I'm scared. Okay, child, show me how you're going to make me feel safe.
That's really true.
Yeah. It's like, no, that's not your child's job. You're the adult. You're the parent. That's actually your job to say, I'm scared, but here's what I'm going to do
to resolve that.
To resolve that and help myself. So the other thing that I think parents, especially moms, don't say is that she knows she's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of people, you have a really great relationship with your mother. And I think there's a lot of people who struggle with their relationships with their mothers. And I think the self-awareness and self-acceptance is really, especially if you're around our age and your mothers are like late 50s, early 70s, that accountability to say like, I partook in this issue. I am part of the problem. I find that that's a struggle for them.
Yeah, that makes sense. And because it's different, because I think that a lot of people struggle with that. I think it's the view of like, well, I'm sorry you felt that way.
Right.
Which is like the narcissistic response. But it's like, well, I'm sorry you felt that way. Putting it back onto you, like that it's your, that they didn't partake in it in any way. And that could be hard.
And the whole like, I'm so sorry, but I hate that but.
This is what it is.
Like you just negated, you're not sorry. You just negated what you just said. And I think it's hard for moms that generation to say, I'm sorry. I knew better as a parent. I'm sorry I put you in that situation. If I could do anything to go back and change it, I would, but I can't. But I can change today, right? Like, it's like, I'm accepting, I'm sorry. But know that today I can change. I can move forward with you. I'm willing to move forward with you.
When you talk about things like that, do you have specific instances in your mind or things that you have like held on to? Or was it just sort of the overall strategy and dynamic that you feel?
Yeah, I think it's overall strategy and dynamic. For me, you know, growing up, my mom was pretty open about her distaste for my dad's wife. And she said, and they didn't get married for quite some time, but even their, his girlfriend relationship. And she would say things that were really not okay. And I won't say them on here because that's not fair, but they were just things that were extremely disrespectful. And when you're a child and you hear those things, you just think like, my dad left, he left for this person is X, I must be less than X. And that's just like one example that comes to my mind of like, hey, I know that I'm in my 30s. I had brought this up. This had gone on for like decades. And I had brought this up so many times. And I still have never gotten like a full apology for that. But I know that I see the actions and the changed behavior. But still, like as a 36-year-old, that stuff still happens. And it just comes to a time when you're just like, I'm going to choose not to be part of this.
To partake in this.
Yeah. But
well, that kind of goes back to our boundaries episode.
Yeah, that goes back to boundaries. But I think also like here is like some moms can be very overbearing with how you raise your children because they think they know best and they don't agree with you.
Yes.
And so.
And that starts from literally birth.
Right.
Oh, are you breastfeeding? Are you doing formula? Well, here's the 15 reasons why you're wrong no matter what you pick.
Right.
And it's always like that. And then like, forget about when you come to school or it's like, right. Oh, well, here's what you're doing. Well, what's that car seat? Or what's this? Or what's that? Or, oh, that's what you pack for lunch. It's always like this. It kind of feels like you can't do something. You can't go left. You can't go right without getting criticized. And I think like as a society, I would love to change that in general, because for me, these are all the really hard things about motherhood. And while it's beautiful and amazing and so rewarding, all the things we know, it's also hard and it's easy to feel alone within that journey when you feel like you're constantly being judged.
Yeah. But then I think there is a point when that the mother, like she just won't tell you that she's not perfect. Right.
Because she's probably also been getting judged for that.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, so like,
it's really cyclical. Behavior. Right. It's cyclical. That's a great point. Okay. So the last thing I think your mother would never tell you is that she would do it all again. Is like,
for sure. Well, that's the love of a child. Like it's literally like they could, you know, run you over and then the next day you're like ready to go again, like waking up.
Well, I think this is true for someone who has a very disconnected relationship with their mother. Is like at the end of the day, she may not say it, but she would do it all again because in that journey that you guys took together, those experiences that you had, it was worth it. It's worth all of the like teenage years, the college years, the bailing out of whatever trouble you were in.
Well, see, I can't speak to those years yet, but you know what's funny is that like your kid can be throwing like a tantrum and then 5 seconds later be like, I'm sorry, I love you. And you're like, it's okay. Like it takes like little to nothing. I think sort of depending on what you believe in, but I think like I think about it in a spirituality way a lot. Whereas like the way that I would hope or think that God views us is like kind of how we view our kids in many regards.
Yeah, it's unconditional.
Yeah, where it's this, but like truly to the point of where like they can say and do something and then 5 seconds later, they're like, I'm sorry, I love you. And you're like, I love you too. Like, come back, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that's an important thing as a parent to teach your kid. It's like, if you could teach them anything, it's like, how do you teach unconditional love, but with boundaries?
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's important that unconditional love is important, finding people who love you unconditionally and you love people unconditionally, but not at the expense of sacrificing your mental health or physical health. It's well, like I that combination. That,
yeah. And I think though that society's like the things that people have superimposed on top of like unconditional love, because unconditional love like should have boundaries because it isn't loving to cross people's boundaries.
That's very true.
But our society makes that look one way. It says this is how it should look, which is like you do everything, you sacrifice your life and your career, and you know, like that is not unconditional love. That's like overbearing helicopter parenting.
Yeah, that's unhealthy. Set yourself on fire to keep people warm. Love,
which isn't actually unconditional love, but I think unconditional love in the true and healthy sense is like such a beautiful.
It is
a beautiful thing, and it's really. I've also seen people who, not me personally, obviously, but I have, you know, been close with people who have terrible relationships with their parents and moms specifically. And it's interesting because they can do the most unthinkable, unimaginable things. And at the end of the day, the child is still always like, well, it's my parent. It's just, it's hard, you know, but it's just really interesting. It's fascinating.
I mean, we could probably go into a rabbit hole here and I won't, but just thinking about it, and this is just me being devil's advocate, is like, why are you forced to love someone that you didn't choose to be your parent?
Yeah, well, that's when boundaries come in. And I think that if you have a healthy relationship with yourself, you learn to set those boundaries. And so maybe that looks like the occasional talking to someone if they can't respect your boundaries, if they haven't evolved and they're not sort of, you know, self-aware within themselves, you have to make that call. Right. If it has become unhealthy for your mental state, then you have to make that call. But that is more of a boundaries.
Yeah, that's like a deep conversation. Okay, so a little bit more fun of five things that your mother never told you, but really like she should have told you. And this one's probably my favorite one because this held so true to me is, yeah, okay, it hurts to have a baby, but it hurts even more after.
Oh my gosh, the after is terrible.
Can I tell you a funny story?
Yeah, I would love to hear your funny story. For me, it was like, it was worse than I thought.
Yeah.
It was so much worse than I thought, but it got so much better, so much quicker, I will say. Like okay. For me, the situation, it was like worse than I was expecting, but like healed faster than I was expecting too. But man.
Oh, you're a vajayjay?
Yeah. But those, I feel like it's like totally the same now. But like those 3 weeks were.
Oh, I mean.
I've only had one kid. You've had three. But like those first 3 weeks were fucking brutal.
Yeah.
No, I did like the ice pack thing. Like
it was so funny because I was telling Hunter, because we're like, oh, do we have a kid? Like, and I'm like, well, as long as you know that I'm going to be in a diaper for a month or whatever after. And he's like, ha ha ha. And I was like, you think I'm joking?
No, you're like, no, an actual diaper.
Like, no, you're actually, I'm like, are you going to change my diaper for me? Like, but
it's true.
Not that I would need him for that, but it's a funny banter. But so for me, and this may be like TMI, but also like, that's what this podcast is all about.
Yeah. We kind of is a lot of TMI around here.
Yeah. It is what it is. Like having a baby for me, for all three kids, actually went really fast. It was really easy. I had a very easy delivery for all three of my kids. So I was very blessed in that retrospect. But what I wasn't expecting and what nobody told me was that first time you go to the bathroom after you have a child was worse than delivering the baby.
So see, everybody says that. That wasn't the case for me.
Okay, so you got lucky.
No, I didn't get lucky. I had 24 hours of labor and 3.5 hours of pushing.
You had just a hard labor and I had a hard after.
Yeah, but like it was literally 24 hours.
Yeah, that sounds miserable.
It was miserable. I almost had to have a C-section because it was like literally down to like the minute. Like they're like, if you don't get her out, like because
it's gotta
timing
be now
wise when the water breaks. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
It was very stressful. Her heart rate kept dropping. I have her whole birth story on my blog, but it was very like scary, stressful situation. I got hypertensive. I like reacted to some medication they gave me. It was a whole.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It was we should do a intense. Whole podcast about giving birth.
Yeah.
Like tips for giving birth or.
We'll shut the video off.
Okay.
Tips for giving birth. You know, it's so funny. This is a small tangent, but important to say. They tell you these days, it's like this big fancy thing. Like, what's your birth plan? Like you got to bring your, not knocking anyone has a birth plan. Like you're way more organized than me. People always ask that. And I'm like, what do you mean? My plan is to show up and give birth. That's my plan. That is the birth plan.
I did that, but mainly because I was like, I just don't want to know. Like, I like my doctor. I'm going to trust you. You tell me what to do.
Yeah,
I don't want to know.
Why are we making the plans? Like, I don't want to make a birth plan. I don't know if that's like, make sure you have bergamot and lemon in your room so that the scent of this happens and this rolls on your back. And like, I definitely had like a very systematic hospital bag that was a lifesaver.
Yeah.
But I did not have a birth plan.
Yeah, neither did I. I have a friend that's about to give birth and she's doing a in-home outside water birth
in the pool. What do you mean outside?
And like they're gonna set up a pool.
Oh.
And do a whole thing there. And cool. I was like, oh, that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah,
but I couldn't do that because I need to know, like, hey doctor, you're my coach. You yell at me what to do.
I remember the monitor beeping so much. I was like, someone's watching this, right? Like somebody's paying attention to this because nobody's in here, but apparently they have it all like out in the hall. But I'm like, the heart rate's going down. Like, hello, anyone? We know this is happening. Okay.
That'll be fun. We need to share our stories. Okay, so the next piece of advice is don't get married until you can support yourself financially. I think this is a really good one because I do think that, especially if your mother is that like baby boomer generation type, they still, some of them still have that viewpoint of like, just find a man and he'll take care of you. And I do think that for your own self-esteem and your own confidence, even if you're going to be a stay-at-home mom, there is something about I can support myself financially. You know, I'm capable. I'm not dependent. I do think that there's a lot of truth to that. Like, and that's good advice.
Obviously not an ideal situation, but one we've both been through. Like if, you know, a situation does ever arise and you want to, need to, whatever, get a divorce, it's one thing not on your, it's one thing off the plate of stress. It's right. One thing that you don't have to stress out about.
But you know, I've done this before. I know what it's like. I can do this again. Because I do think that there is that unknown of, well, I can't leave. I haven't worked in 10 years and 15 years. Or I've never had a real job. Or I don't think I can support myself financially. So, right, like giving yourself that
optionality,
assurance that you can do that.
Yeah. And I think that's good for your self-esteem regardless. Like, obviously, God willing, I mean, you always hope like we have, you have a, you know, successful marriage for 70 years and you get to be with that person. That's amazing. But I still think for your own self-esteem and for the longevity of, and the overall like health of the relationship, it's still nice to know what you're capable of.
Yeah. The next thing that I definitely, no one talked to me about any of this was the period talk and the sex talk. And so I got my period at 16. I got it super late.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I was like 11 or 12. I was really young.
Well, I think the eating disorder delayed it significantly. I got it when I was 16 and then I got it like two or three times and then it went away for a year. But when I got it, I like went to the bathroom. I was playing lacrosse and I'm like, what do I do? And my friend was like, here's a tampon. I'm like,
What do I do with this thing?
I don't know what I do with that. And she like put me in the bathroom and gave it to me. And she literally was like, this is what you do. Like, do this, do that. Okay, now you're good. I was like, I mean, like, I love my friend for teaching me that. But also it would have been nice to like not feel so embarrassed that my teammate had to show me how to put a tampon in. So I feel like as parents, not that I'm going to go tell Reagan at 5 what a period is, but they've definitely picked up the tampons and been like, what is this?
Oh, same with Ken's. I have them in like the specific area in my bathroom and I'll be like going to the restroom and she'll walk over. She'll be like, need a tampon? Need a tampon?
That's really funny. But I do think, especially some kids, like girls have their periods at like 10 and 11.
I was 11, I think, or 12.
Yeah.
Right before a softball game in the white leggings. That was special.
Yeah. Oh, you poor thing.
And I was like too young for a tampon, like for me at that point. So it was like a pad in the white leggings and the softball pants. It was really great. Yeah. It was.
Can I get a picture of that?
You may not.
That's so funny.
You may not.
And then also the sex talk. I mean, again, I don't think at age 5 or, but I do think that there is some things that we can start to talk about.
Like what?
Okay. Well, I don't have any cutesy names for privates. It's penis and vagina. Like that's what it is. We don't call it anything else. And not that we're open about any of that stuff, but like, if they're like, how's a baby made? A baby's made from a man and a woman. And we're not like going in detail and explaining it, but I've let them watch videos of the little seed or the little sperm seed and then the egg. And like the daddy gives the sperm seed and the mommy gives the egg and they it gets fertilized and a baby is created and held in mommy's stomach. Now, I'm not going to teach them like how does the sperm get there, but there are some components that we can start talking about and making them feel comfortable.
From like a scientific standpoint.
Yeah, it's very science. That's my approach. If they ask me anything.
Well, you're getting all hot and bothered just thinking about it, all a little uncomfortable over there.
No, I'm totally fine. I'm like, oh, well, more of like, oh my God, are people, am I going to get 1,000 messages about like, how dare you let your child watch that video?
The sperm video. I have a really funny story. So one of my good girlfriends, her name's Alan, and she was pregnant with her son and had her baby. So she brings Carter over to the house and Kinsley's like, well, how did he get out of your stomach? Did he just crawl out of your stomach? Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, no. He didn't crawl to my stomach. Like I say VV. And we're like, oh, he like comes out of your VV. And she's like looking at Alan and she's like, what? And she's like, and you came out of your mom's VV. And she looked at her and she goes, no, I didn't. We were like, yeah, you did, kid.
That's really funny.
No, she like was appalled. She was like, no, I didn't. You sure did.
Like, yes, you did. And you will come to full grips with that when you're 10 in like your first sex ed class, I'm sure. I teach it at that age. I don't know. Okay. So I think depending on your comfort level and your child's comfort level, I approach everything as scientifically as possible. And if I can't explain it with words, I'm like, let me find a video.
Yeah, don't find the wrong video.
Well, with YouTube, you never know, man. You could be watching like an innocent movie and then all of a sudden some weird anime comes up. Oh, weird. Okay. The next thing is you have to work harder for your friendships the older you get. And we have a whole episode on friendships, so we can keep this one short. But I think this is one of the best ones. Like, as you're growing up in elementary school, middle school, high school, college, it's super easy to find friends.
Well, you see them, it's like dime a dozen, and you see everybody around all the time, and you're in class, you know, three periods a day or whatever.
But as an adult, especially when you start adding your job, if you're doing side hustles,
it takes effort. It's a big effort.
It's a huge effort.
In your free time, it's like, how are you allocating your free time? And if you choose to allocate to someone, like, are they choosing to allocate it back to you? And can you line up your schedules? It just becomes increasingly more difficult.
Yeah, it definitely is. So I think that's a great one. And then the last one is confidence is so much more than an outward appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So someone can look all put together, extremely confident on the outside, but be really struggling or broken on the inside. And it's all... I mean, that's one of the reasons why we did this podcast was people can seem extremely ordinary, but you just don't know the things that they have been through, the accomplishments that they
have. They're capable of.
Yeah, what they're capable of and really what kind of person they are. And so...
You guys know if you've been following me for a while or listening to, you know, a couple of episodes of this podcast, I think I've shared before, but Kinsley and I are really big on doing affirmations. Mm-hmm. So I've done it with her since she was one. She'll be four this month. And I've done it with her since she was one. And now whenever we go places, she is able to give other people affirmations. So last night I was at a friend's parents' house, and there was probably like five people there. And one of the guys was helping her. And afterwards I was like, oh, because he walked over and she was like, you know, Kinsley, you're so great. Like, you're really smart and like really funny and kind, like giving her good affirmations rather than just like, oh, you're so cute, which I appreciate. And then I was like, can you give John an affirmation? And she was like, John, you're very helpful. Like, thank you for helping me. And it's because we started those affirmations. So she and I said together, I'm helpful. I'm kind. I'm a good friend. I'm confident. I'm funny. I'm like smart. I'm, you know, like all these things, I'm capable. And so now she can tell someone like, oh, Coach B, like, thank you. Like, that was really, you're being very helpful. Not just right. Like, I like your shirt.
Exactly. Something deeper. And I love that you start at such an early age.
She could barely say it at first, but I'm like, yeah. I am kind. She's like, I can't, you know what I mean? But I can't. It's like, yeah, cool. But like, you know, you work up to it. And now she can say all of them.
Well, and I like that because not only does it help her, it also helps her and herself, but it also helps her identify deeper, meaningful things.
And it also helps
to recognize
you. I think sometimes as an adult, like, we may feel silly, like looking in the mirror and being like, I'm kind, I'm a good friend, I'm smart, I'm funny, I'm, you know, like all these things. Like, but like when you're doing it with your kid, like, you're also affirming yourself. You're also saying it simultaneously, which I think was really good.
Yeah. I love that. Well, those are our main things. Five things your mom just will never tell you. And maybe you should ask her for that. And then five things you wish growing up or even now that your mom had told you or you can tell your kids.
It would also be funny to ask your mom, like, what are five things you didn't tell me about being a mom? Because I feel like it's also a little intentional sometimes. Like you said, like the crying thing, like they wouldn't want to make you feel bad for all the times you were a terror in high school. But like,
exercise, go to your mother and ask her, what are five things
or three things, even?
Yeah, three things that you never told me. What are they? And see what she says.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then we'll put a comment box
so
you guys can share.
Fun.
I'm super curious.
Me too. I actually really want to know. I bet we're going to get some good ones, some sage wisdom. Well, thank you guys for joining us on another episode of the Baddie Bee Club. You are all badass basic bitches. We love you guys, and we'll see you in our next episode. Bye.